If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's the Early Line. We're live right here on Sports Grid on a Tuesday morning. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. A lot to get to in the National Football League here on this Tuesday as the regular season is approaching its close. DRS, how you feeling?
Yep, time to do extra homework over the next 2 weeks. Who needs what? Who's playing players? Who's sitting players? Who's looking to advance? Who's looking to go home? And also, Kevin, did you know there's 4 bowl games today as well? It's popping this time of year, and I'm ready to get it started.
Bowl season certainly about to pick up, which is nice to see as the week goes on. Those games will get better. The national championship semifinals on Saturday. We will certainly be discussing those throughout the week. But we begin with Monday Night Football, where the Los Angeles Chargers secured a spot in the AFC playoffs with a 20-3 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. 3 points for the Colts, 3 picks for Nick Foles, who threw for just 143 yards. Austin Eckler finds the end zone twice on the ground, and that's enough for the Chargers to lock up a spot in the AFC wildcard picture.
Yeah, 7 sacks also against Nick Foles here, so an uphill climb next year for the Colts. But having said that, the Los Angeles Chargers, as we said, going to the playoffs and one of those teams that might be getting healthy at the right time, playing some good football, playing some good defense here, and also shout out to the people who can't stand that they expanded the playoffs in the NFL to 7 games, because next week, just about nobody would have anything to play for. But we actually have about 10 teams, Kevin, still active this week and next week. I love it. Get your calculators out, because you can make some money based on who needs what.
We also saw some AFC West news that had a much, much different tone, and that was the Denver Broncos firing Nate Hackett. It does not even finish the opening season of his tenure with the Denver Broncos, and hardly a surprise, hardly an overreaction. In fact, those that said Nate Hackett should be fired after his first game were not overreacting. One of the worst coaches these eyes have ever seen.
Yeah, and when a week or two into your NFL regime where you're a head coach, you got to hire somebody to teach you how to run a game management program. Come on now. You knew he was going to be on his way out, but don't feel bad for Nathaniel Hackett. He's the big winner. He's going to go home. What a Christmas present that you could tell your family. Guys, I don't have to go to work, but I'm going to get about probably $20 to $30 million wired in to my account by next Friday. He's the big winner here.
A lot made about Russell Wilson, where Denver stands. We will talk about potential candidates and if maybe Russell Wilson should be the next to leave in Denver. We'll break that all down. Some quarterback updates around the AFC East. Tua Tagovailoa back in concussion protocol. A bit of concerning news, especially considering the season that he has had with the Miami Dolphins. We also know that Mike White will be back under center for the New York Jets. Oh, and also Joe Flacco will be the second-string quarterback as, once again, Zach Wilson is inactive.
Yeah, it's musical chairs in New York. It's kind of funny the way it's playing out. Well, that's the biggest story. Like, you start one week, you're third the next week. You start next week, you're third the next week. Enough with that stuff. But by the way, Tua Tagovailoa going into concussion protocol is wild. And I guess it's the only explanation I have from the game that they played on Sunday was there was something really wrong or either some point shaving on Tua, but now it makes some sense. Looks like Tua's throwing to the opposite team. Maybe he had a concussion in the second half and actually didn't know who he was supposed to throw the football to. But that's damaging for the future of the Miami Dolphins and Tua Tagovailoa's career to have that many concussions, Kevin, this season.
We will take our time taking a look at how some of this news does impact Week 17 in the National Football League as our radio audience enters the fold here on this Tuesday morning. Kevin Walshtani, right side the early line. On SiriusXM Channel 159, one more piece of NFL news around Lamar Jackson. You know, it reads, Ravens unsure on Lamar return. And then realize that very well could apply to Lamar's entire future in Baltimore, but it is just about this coming week that they are unsure of, despite the fact they try to tell everybody they thought Lamar would be back last week against the Atlanta Falcons. Not a great sign for Lamar's potential, I feel, to see the field on Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Also, and this is a big decision for Lamar Jackson as well. Does he come back a little bit earlier where the knee is a little balky and then in the offseason where he's supposed to get paid, you're getting knee surgery? Or is he playing the long game here going like, I'm not coming back until I'm healthy and you see the type of football team you have without me?
It's an interesting spot to be in. I know that Richard Sherman most notably said if he was Lamar, he would shut the whole thing down. I doubt Lamar will do that, though it would be some way for things to end up if Lamar actually says, no, I'm good. I've got money to make this offseason. Over in the NBA, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving each went for 32 points in Cleveland. It was pretty appropriate for the two best teams that did not play on Christmas to see one another the following day here in Cleveland and Brooklyn. And the Nets continue to make a statement after beating the Milwaukee Bucks before the Christmas slate was in action. The Nets follow that up with a 125-117 win in Cleveland, looking incredibly impressive.
Yeah, how long does it stay here? How long do the good vibes last in Brooklyn? Is it the rest of the way where you can fight it off through that trade deadline? Do changes have to be made? Is an implosion coming? Keep an eye on the Nets, even though they're giving you no food for fodder out here to get upset with them playing good basketball.
They've won 9 games in a row, and they currently have the third best odds to win the NBA championship. There is an argument to be had that this group should be the favorite. A slow start, no doubt, at a moment where it looked like we were going to be trading every single member of their big three. They have now absolutely steadied the ship here and are playing as good as anybody in basketball. Lastly, New Mexico State won the Quick Lane Bowl yesterday against Bowling Green as a 3-point underdog. As Donnie mentioned, 4 more bowl games today. We'll get you those in hour number 2, but we go to Monday Night Football next, right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Monday Night Football feature two teams going in different directions. The Chargers heating up as the season goes on. Winners now in a row with last night's win over the Colts. The Colts playing some bad football, the worst loss, one of the, you know, all things considered, one of the worst losses in the history of the sport, the biggest blown lead ever against the Minnesota Vikings, and they followed it up with what was largely a no-show here on a Monday night in their own building, one of the final games of the Jeff Saturday tenure, whether they're going to interview him or not. The reaction for a lot of people is the Chargers turning around their season, a team that was 6-6 just 3 weeks ago. And you got to give them credit for that. They have turned around their season. And the health has started to finally check in for the Los Angeles Chargers. We'll see if it hangs around. But I noticed that some people seem to be talking about the Chargers like this is a job well done. Securing a spot in the playoffs is enough to label this season a success. And that is simply erasing history. Los Angeles Chargers were picked by more people to win the AFC West than miss the playoffs. This was a team that had a world of expectation on them because they have one of the most talented rosters in football. Again, I'm aware, a lot of guys injured for a lot of this season. They still have guys injured. Derwin James, back last night, gets ejected from the football game. I understand it's hardly been a perfect season from the Los Angeles Chargers. But this is not a one-and-done football team, and then, hey, pats on the head, everybody did a great job. The Sean Payton news lurks for a reason. A credit to the Chargers for finally getting Justin Herbert to the playoffs, Donnie. But their road, or their season, can hardly be marked as a success with still, I think, a lot to prove this year.
And by the way, if they wanted to, which again, this is the tough part of the year, being in the handicapping seat, because you're looking at the Chargers moving forward. They got two layups, Kevin, ahead of them. Now, they sit right now at 9-6. If they finish 11-6 on the season and they play out these next two games, which I doubt they probably will do that since they have no chance at really moving up in the standings other than staying in that, what, six spot here, maybe the five spot if they get up to. But again, granted, you're playing for the bye at the end of the season. They can't get that because that's going to come from the Bengals, Chiefs, and the Buffalo Bills. But if that is an 11-win season, and also you're going to get a top five defensive end back for the playoffs in Joey Bosa, who's returning back to practice. If Derwin James, who actually got thrown out of the game last night and on that same hit, I believe got a concussion, so he's probably going to get a week or two to rest up that bad thigh and also his, you know, head injuries. But at the same time, this is one of those teams that's really talented and intriguing heading into the playoffs, because if you're a football team, you're going to hear this a lot now. Nobody wants to face this team. They're hot. Nobody wants Brady in the playoffs. Nobody wants Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs. But now enter in the Los Angeles Chargers. Nobody wants to see them, because you might actually be getting a full-tilt, hot Chargers team in round one. Now, we saying, Kevin, they're going to walk over their opponent on the road. No, we're not. But this is one of those teams where you see, like, the Miami Dolphins, how's Tua going to be? And does that offense operate? Did they get figured out? Or the Baltimore Ravens, one-trick pony if Lamar Jackson comes back. Justin Herbert in that offense here, they can move it, and they're healthy because, as you said, for a large portion of the year, Keenan Allen wasn't there. Mike Williams was hurt. They were playing with no wide receivers, and here we are. Looks like all back for the playoffs.
I think the two layup games that they are able to finish their season with, well, again, on the surface, I mean, the Rams looked awesome, obviously, the last time we saw them. But they have two games that they're going to be, you know, comfortable favorites in the rest of the way. How relevant are they? With a playoff spot secured, you know, Baltimore's game, we'll have to see how that plays out. The Chargers could be added to the list of teams that are doing absolutely nothing. Week 18, where they're sat there saying, look, if we're 5-6, it doesn't really make a difference. The thing, though, is, to be fair, the difference between being 5-6 is either playing the winner of the AFC South or one of Buffalo, Kansas City, Cincinnati. So you would actually think that being the fifth seed is a far more valuable proposition, even if the Chargers beat down or got beat down by the Jacksonville Jaguars, DRS, trying to avoid playing one of those top teams in Week 18. Do we think that could be enough for the Chargers to still run a Herbert out there?
I don't think so. To be honest, like if you're lining this up, right, to get and win a Super Bowl, Kevin, you're going to have to beat some really good football teams. So if I'm the Chargers, I'm not saying let me play against the Denver Broncos for a chance to not play Kansas City, Cincinnati, the Buffalo Bills, which you're going to play at least one, if not two of those teams, if you want to get to the Super Bowl. What's more important? Oh, Eckler went down with a hamstring injury. Well, we really fought for that position, because then you lose him for a couple weeks. Health is the most important thing. They're in the playoffs. They should play it that way.
I actually think this team, maybe more than any, should take everything that is provided. You could argue that they should shut it down for 2 weeks with the injuries that are able to hit this football team, all things considered. I agree with you. I would be incredibly cautious the remainder of the way. On the other side of the field, the Indianapolis Colts. So I think that the Jeff Saturday chance to be brought back as the head coach next year was probably over for a little bit. But I actually think this is worse than the blown loss to the Minnesota Vikings. The loss to the Vikings, obviously a disaster, a historic game. You will now forever be remembered as the coach that blew the largest lead in NFL history. But you would have thought, back in your own building on a Monday Night Football, an opportunity to galvanize the group, for this to look the way that it did. Again, not that I think it was in doubt, but in case it was, Donnie, Jeff Saturday will not be the head coach for the Indianapolis Colts next year.
I'm not so sure of that, because there was those flyers crazy. That you know that's coming out behind, not behind the scenes, not from other organizations, but from probably Jim Irsay himself, saying, we're going to keep the GM. Ooh, it's got a dynamic. Like, I've been sitting in meetings here between Jeff Saturday and Chris Ballard. Everything seems sensational, and that's the way you want to go. I would not put this past Saturday coming back next year when they find their quarterback, because that's what Jim Irsay wanted. He didn't put Jeff Saturday in that position because he's best friends with him and have some fun. He put him in, and if you remember, Kevin, he was fired up on Twitter the day after they beat the Raiders, going like, yeah, oh, you guys doubted me. And then, what, four straight games of ineptitude basically across the board, and you're going to try to bring him back with some final pieces to the puzzle. There's a lot of good head coaches out here that you can hire next year, but I'm telling you right now, if you ask Jim Irsay and get him off the record, hey, I already made my decision. It's Jeff Saturday next year. We'll do that dog and pony show in the offseason, but it's going to be Saturday.
Well, if that's what you believe, then that means you actually think Saturday's going to keep this job, which I have no idea.
Because the ownership, he shouldn't. Like, I'm not advocating for him at all. He should no way be the coach next year if you're looking to rebuild. Because if anything is, you want to galvanize the troops, Kevin, right? Isn't that what you want out of an interim coach? Say, hey, you know what? We're non-competitive. Look at what Wilson did in Carolina. That team was a disaster. They might actually win the division. So if I'm the owner, I go, yo, you did exactly what I asked. Just come in here, do well. Let's see how the players respond. And they did. Are we saying that the Colts are responding to Saturday by losing the biggest leads of all time, coming up with 3 points last night with still a light chance to make the playoffs? They're a disaster right now. I don't think he should come back. But Irsay makes the call. Owners own in the NFL and can say whatever they want. Remember when they said, hey, look, we want to bring Carson Wentz back next year because we think we could build on it. He's not going to be my quarterback, make the trade. I don't care what happens. And look how that worked out. Owners can do whatever they want, and he wants Saturday.
I don't know. I think he wanted to make a change in the middle of the season and thought that calling on Jeff Saturday had legs to it. But I think more than anything, Jim Irsay wants to win. And I think that's why Jim Irsay, after last season, said, nope, Wentz has to go. Can't win him. Can't win with it. It's like, well, coach, I don't know, 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. No. Got to go. It's why in the middle of the year, they're benching Matt Ryan. That's why they're firing Frank Reich. They're doing a lot in the middle of the season. I would be very surprised if Jim Irsay is watching this all play out and being like, I know it's not Jeff's fault. I would be very surprised if that was the tenure, the tone, of what Jim Irsay is watching and then reporting back to whoever he consults on these type of things. Also, I don't think Nick Foles will be the quarterback next year for the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to go out of bridge and say that. There was no magic in this game. It was actually quite disappointing to watch. Speaking of fired coaches, the Denver Broncos fired Nate Hackett. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The Denver Broncos yesterday fired Nathaniel Hackett. After just one season, not even a full season, actually, with Denver, they decided that their head coach needed to be moved on from. Yesterday provided, though, some debate about who was really at fault here in Denver. Yesterday, people running to defend Nate Hackett. The whole thing's Russell Wilson's fault. We'll get to Russell Wilson. We will, I promise. Whether or not he should be the Denver quarterback next year. And trust me, I won't run from this. I know I picked the Broncos to win a Super Bowl, and I understand that they fired a head coach before a season came to a close. I don't run from that one bit. But the fact of the matter is, Nate Hackett being fired is not something that is surprising. It is something that happened far too late into this season. I am aware that nobody is ever going to fire a year one head coach after 1 week of football. It doesn't mean it wouldn't have been the right move. It was plain and obvious immediately that Nate Hackett was way too in over his head on the sideline for Denver. So obvious that they brought in a coach who was specifically there to help him make decisions in the middle of the game. Hold on a minute. What? Yeah, that's how bad it was. Usually coaches actually have enough pride to be far too stubborn to bring that kind of guy in. Nate Hackett's downfalls were so clear and obvious. They were like, yeah, you bring somebody in to coach you, coach, during the football game. He was a disaster against Seattle and every single game throughout. Remove your Russell Wilson opinions aside here. No person can honestly be sat out there thinking that Nathaniel Hackett was hard done by. He should be gracious. He got this job. He got one over on Denver. He will enjoy the payout that is coming his way. But he is hardly an NFL head coach. And it is always easy to tell because there will be exactly zero football teams that'll be running to interview Nate Hackett for their head coach opening positions this offseason.
Yeah, by the way, Bill Belichick probably beating down the doors right now. Hey, Nate, can you come over and fix our offense here in New England? Because it'd be a market upgrade over Matt Patricia. But also having said that, this is the reason why I love this show. I love this network here. Because we don't pull punches at this point. It's okay to say Nathaniel Hackett was a disastrous head coach and never should have gotten the job. If you peel through some of the channels, like, oh, he's a good coach, man. So it just didn't go his way. No, he was a disaster. Because Kevin just pointed out here, there's some simple things where you just know football. Some people have never been in a huddle for, never played higher than like peewee football, never played high school football, college, or professional football, can sit on your couch and watch a Broncos game and be like, this coach has no idea what he's doing. You actually have to hire a guy to stand next to you in the field and go, hey, by the way, you should take a timeout here. Ooh, timeout. Or, hey, you should challenge that one. It looks like 2 feet were in. Ooh, throw the flag out on the field. You've got to be kidding me. The minute that was hired, because there was a division of what that actually meant, because there was some people saying like, wow, you know what? That's a real conscious head coach that understands he's not ready to be a head coach and needs help. And then the correct people were going like, oh, no. The easiest thing to do is be a delegating head coach and say, let me just handle, hey, coach, do you want to go for a fourth down? Yes, I do. Hey, coach, should we call a timeout right here with a minute 30 to go and two timeouts while we're driving? Absolutely, we should do that. Hey, coach, do you think we should challenge his play? They're the simple things that he couldn't even get correctly. So how is he going to go to a week-to-week, you know, getting my football team ready, putting game plans in, making sure everybody's motivated and ready to go? And keep in mind, Kevin, by the way, on Nathaniel Hackett, he didn't come in and take over the Panthers. He didn't come in a rebuild with the New York Giants on a throwaway season, which now the Giants are going to make the playoffs. He took the helm there with Russell Wilson, and the goal was to win the Super Bowl, and they ended up being an embarrassment. It was the wrong move, but it's a correction. I'm glad the Denver new ownership group goes, no matter what the check is going to be, we have to make this right here.
And that is then, for some people, half the battle. Let's get to Russell Wilson. Because there are some folks that feel as if Hackett was put in an impossible position, that Russell Wilson's career is over, he will be a sunk cost, and will ultimately be a big part of what is maybe the worst trade in the history of this sport. I'm not telling you that Russell Wilson should open things up in Denver, lighting it on fire. But over his first four games, Donnie, the passer rating was about 92. Four total touchdown passes, just one interception. And this was a 2-2 football team, with one of those losses being that impossible loss to Seattle. Over his nine following games, Russell Wilson's passer rating below an 80, less than a touchdown pass per game, nearly an interception per game. And would you look at that? What happened to coincide with things getting even worse for Russell Wilson? The reports that he needed a PRP shot in his shoulder because he could hardly move at all. It is an injury that kept Dak out of camp for a month. And Russell Wilson, of course, missed precisely zero time. And a week later was diagnosed with a torn hamstring and somehow told himself he had Wolverine blood, so he missed a week of football and then played in London. And then they had a bye, and it's like, oh, everything's great. And it was never great. And Russell Wilson has not been healthy for basically this entire season. I don't know if Russell Wilson will ever return to the guy that was in Seattle. But I know that Russell Wilson ended his Seattle tenure, those final two games, red hot, as good as ever. I know he opened up his Denver tenure, averaging 8 yards per pass, throwing for 340 yards on the Seattle Seahawks, and with a competent head coach, they would have moonwalked to 30 points. But they didn't. And then he got injured. And it all fell apart. Wrap him in bubble wrap. Hope he gets healthy this offseason. But the people think that they need to 1,000% get rid of Russell Wilson decided that a long time ago while ignoring that he has been injured for well over 2 months now, Donnie.
Look, and there's some merit to that because it's the only thing I can think of. Like we just talked about Tua Tagovailoa. Well, maybe he's got concussion. That's how bad he was. Okay, that makes some sense. The only thing you can think of is Russell doesn't move at all. Well, maybe his hamstrings bother him. Russell's arm looks weak. Maybe he needs shoulder surgery in the offseason, which is an abject disaster. This wasn't a one-year look. So you're like, hey, by the way, he's on the final year of his deal. Let's just see if it works. If not, we can move on. You spent an immense amount of draft capital. You paid him hundreds of millions of dollars, and this is the byproduct of what you got. If you were telling me at the beginning of the season, Kevin, and Nathaniel Hackett signed up for, because he gets the job, then they get Russell Wilson, you sit back and go, well, let me get this straight. I get Russell Wilson and a top five, top three defense here. Oh, yeah, we should cruise. Even if Russ is below average, we're easily making the playoffs here. But if Russ plays like we know Russ can play, we're challenging the Kansas City Chiefs. And everything has been terrible, except the defense was exceptional, even after you got rid of Bradley Chubb. So you say that on Sunday, well, Donnie, man, I watched that game. They got rolled up on by the Rams. That team already quit on that football team, and that's why the coach got fired the next day. You can lose in the NFL, but you just can't embarrass your franchise and your ownership group, which is what Nathaniel Hackett actually did here. But back to Russell Wilson. What's the hope next year? Okay, I had a great offseason. You know, my arm is healed up. I don't longer have any hand issues from what I had in Seattle. That's what your hope is. But you're paying this quarterback a lot of money to be a top five player in the NFL, and I'm not so sure he ever gets back. Like, he looks like a shot fighter out there, but the only thing we're hoping on is maybe it's his hamstring, maybe it's something we don't know about, maybe he has to go under the knife and really get that shoulder fixed in the offseason.
But to your point, because don't really get to potential coaching candidates, right? They paid him to be a top five quarterback in football. He was nowhere near that. They also did not need him to be anywhere near that. If he was the 17th best quarterback in football, Denver would be a playoff team right now, right? And if he was the 10th best quarterback in football, they would have challenged for the number one seed in the conference. Now, that's not what they were able to get ultimately out of Russell Wilson, but the idea that they should be doing an $82 million dead cap situation after 1 year with the worst head coach, one of the worst head coaches these eyes has ever seen, is absolutely indefensible. One thing I think we can have some fun with as we continue to get to the offseason is potential coaching candidates. There certainly will be some repeats as we do this, but Donnie, I know you love to circle guys that you think are a perfect fit for the situations that come available. Tell me your three ideal coaching candidates as we sit here the day after the Nate Hackett firing for the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, there's three guys to me here, and we'll go right in order as listed. Now, granted, the number one guy is going to come up is Sean Payton, hottest coaching candidate out there. It's almost like a plug-and-play coach, Kevin, right? You plug him in year two, you're actually battling for a playoff positioning, regardless of franchise, and maybe making a deep run. If he gets his quarterback, watch out. That offense is going to move regardless who the players are. But the fact of the matter is, I just said, the Denver Broncos gave up a lot of draft capital to get Russell Wilson. You don't just get, it's not a free agent on the street, Sean Payton. You are going to have to pay the Saints handsomely to get him in draft compensation. And oh yeah, he's probably going to want $15 million a year. And if you were an ownership group who just came in going, hey, we had a terrible season, Sean Payton's going to tell you, I'm running this whole organization. You sit up in that owner's box. I just write the checks and don't even talk to me. That's what it's going to be. We'll see if that ownership group can do it. If they can, he's the perfect fit. Number two on that list, it's going to be Jim Harbaugh. This guy will know how to get in and get the most out of his football team, but he also is going to want command of the general manager position, and rightfully so. If I'm looking to restart a franchise and get the fans hype, that's going to be Sean Payton and Jim Harbaugh. Now, number three here, Kellen Moore, boy wonder down there in Dallas. He's been doing it for a while. He is a head coach in waiting for Mike McCarthy. If Mike McCarthy stumbles, he probably should go in there. Maybe even Sean Payton goes to Dallas. But those are my top three candidates here because I need offense here. We can't go out and say, hey, Dan Quinn, who's a great coordinator for the Dallas Cowboys, this team has a paint-by-numbers defense that is elite talent. You need an offensive commander to come in there and shift things up. Those would be my three guys. Now, the perfect fit is probably going to be Harbaugh. Why? You don't have to give any draft compensation over to the Michigan Wolverines, only a buyout of a contract here. If I had one guy to pick, it would be Jim Harbaugh.
Well, and I think all three guys are very tempting names, though the reports are already swirling. This is Dan Quinn's job. At this point, if they were posting odds, Broncos' next head coach, Dan Quinn would be in the minus money. That is what we are seeing. Listen, I think Dan Quinn's all right, but boy, then is the offensive coordinator hire going to be as important as imaginable. Can they steal Kellen Moore by chance, and he can be the OC for them in Denver?
No shit.
A little 1-2 combination, probably. We'll be right back here. It's the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We take our first look towards Week 17 here on the Early Line on this Tuesday. And I want to look at some of the quarterback question marks that exist as we try and figure out who will be in, who'll be out, and then, of course, how that can impact the lines. We begin with Eagles Saints. The Jalen Hurts question marks remain. They have not ruled him out at all, but we have a 6.5-point spread here and a total of 43.5. So I think we can use that, or at least try to use that, as a bit of information to work off of here. What does that tell us and where things could go if Jalen Hurts checks into the game for the Saints? As we sit here right now, I do not expect him to play against the Saints. I think that Gardner Minshew did enough that the Eagles are not going to smash the panic button and force Hurts out there. And even if they were tempted to, the injury to Lane Johnson, which came down yesterday, knocking him out the remainder of the regular season, hopeful to be ready to start the postseason, I think will almost guarantee that the Eagles do not play Jalen Hurts here against the New Orleans Saints.
And also, looking at the number, too, Kevin, the FanDuel Sportsbook opened this up at -3.5, and it's ballooned to 6.5. But I don't think this is even like a hedged number, to be honest. I think they're expecting Gardner Minshew to play, which is why that number actually is sitting at 6.5. It's one of those that on Thursday afternoon, if you get one of those reports from a beat writer that goes, hey, by the way, Jalen Hurts is full go at practice, that number then turns into an 8.5 at this point. If Gardner Minshew is announced as the starter, 6.5 is probably where that's going to stay there. Because you have to remind yourself, the Saints do have some talent, but the Saints are a dome team. The Saints are going on the road. The Philadelphia Eagles had no problems moving the football up and down the field on the Dallas Cowboys. Now, if you say, okay, cut down on the turnovers, they probably beat the Dallas Cowboys, which is more than enough to beat the New Orleans Saints at home here. It's not one of those games where I'm all that worried because I know Avante Maddox is going to miss. That's going to be a hurtful spot there. I know Lane Johnson is not going to be that right tackle, one of the best in football. That is going to hurt them. But they have enough firepower to beat the Saints. Because, Kevin, one of the running themes that we've done the past couple weeks is we ask this question. What's the cap number for the Saints in this game? 17, 19 points. You're not beating the Eagles 19-14. You better get into the high 20s. I don't think the Saints can get there. So I still like the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm not in panic mode. They need one more win out of the final two games, get some good news on some injuries in the playoffs, and away they go. I'm not looking at this game saying, boy, if Gardner Minshew plays, I'm really worried. I expect them to move the football, and I expect the defense to play well here, and that should be enough.
Yeah, I think what is maybe getting lost a little bit in some of the early conversations I've heard around this game, the Saints are not good at all. Not good at all. They won two in a row. No. They beat Desmond Ridder and Desmond Ridder's first start, and they gave up 18 points in that game. They did not cover that game. That gives you an idea they did not outperform expectations. Last week, they won in Cleveland. That was not impressive at all. Nope, that was a fake football game played in outer space. I don't care who won that game. Nobody was going to get a round of applause out of me. They did win it, given that. Okay, sure. They collapsed against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers like everybody else. Week before, they were shut out by the San Francisco 49ers. They beat the LA Rams in a game that Stafford got injured in and then Wofford wasn't available for. So shout out Bryce Perkins for checking in and doing a whole lot of nothing. They lost to the Steelers. They got smashed by the Ravens. This has been what this team has done here over the last 2 months. The Saints are not good. The Saints are 6-9. The Saints are playing for something. Correct. Because they are in the NFC South. They don't even play their best quarterback on the roster. Is Jameis Winston still show up to Saints games, by the way? Does anybody even know? Like, if they still let him into the building? I certainly have no idea. We sit here at 6.5. If slash when they confirm it will be Gardner Minshew, I think it moves slightly. Just because that's the nature of things, right? It goes to a 6. I don't think this is going to fall to some 3.5, 4 number. If by chance, though, Donnie, they throw Jalen Hurts in this game, you're hitting a 7, maybe getting past it and going to 7.5.
Yes, yeah, and that's what I was trying to get through there was I don't think there is going to be a lot of movement there. Maybe a 6 would pop up there, but if you do see that Jalen Hurts is starting, even if it says he might be limited, that's going to push over a touchdown at that point because that shows how much the Eagles care about this football game and are going all in. Keep in mind, again, the Eagles need one win out of the final two games. Now, also, the Saints are playing for something. It would have been really interesting, Kevin, if the Saints had lost last week, officially knocked out, what actual team would have showed up? Because actually, you might have got Jameis Winston on the field at that point, which is kind of crazy, but it'll still be Andy Dalton. But also keep in mind, on the field, if the Eagles looking forward, the Giants are probably going to clinch. Look, you watched the game last night. We saw it. The Colts are going on the road to take on the Giants. The Giants need this game. The Colts are done. And Nick Foles, are we going back to Matt Ryan, Nick Foles, Sam Ehlinger? It doesn't matter at all. The Giants will probably win the game, which means the final game of the season for the Giants won't mean anything here. I do think the Eagles will be cautious with some of the injuries, but I think they go into this game fully expecting to hang one on the Saints and not be worried 3 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We got to stop the Saints and get the football back and try to win this thing.
All right, let's move forward then to the Ravens-Steelers. This game gets flexed to Sunday night football as the Steelers' postseason hopes are still alive. They remove Chargers-Rams out of that spot. That's a good job. Was Ravens-Steelers the best game available? You never know. There's protections and things like that. It's at least a meaningful football game. It's a field goal line. Total's 36. I read this as no Lamar. I don't think that this is a pick'em game with Tyler Huntley in Baltimore. Maybe 2.5, but not much shorter than this, Donnie. I see Ravens Steelers right now, and I feel as if the sports book tells us, yeah, we don't see any world Lamar Jackson checks back into this game for the Ravens.
Exactly, and that's why it's sitting there at the -3. Now, the opening line there was a 6-point line. That wasn't because Huntley was going to be healthy and playing. They were expecting a good chance that Lamar Jackson would be back. Now, let me ask you this question, because what was always a very good marriage down in Baltimore where everybody was on the same page, eventually Lamar Jackson's going to get paid, but we're not going to pay him yet. He's fine with that. He's going to ride it out because he knows it's a Powerball lottery for him if he can make it through and healthy. Well, he's banged up. He's not healthy. Like, oh, my, well, he got an Achilles and an ACL this year on the same play. Oh, my goodness, we can't pay the guy. But remember back in camp where Lamar Jackson didn't show up? And typically a coach, regardless of what happens behind the scenes, always covers. Where's Lamar Jackson at today for minicamp? Oh, he was excused. He had some business. We expect him back in the near future. But remember John Harbaugh stepped up to the podium and was like, yeah, you got to ask him. It's like, oh, man, something might be there. He wants to get paid. Things aren't getting worked out. And this is where I bring up this week here. We're expecting Lamar Jackson back. But when you asked Harbaugh again, well, we'll see. Usually it's more like, hey, he's going to get back on the field. He's going to work through some things. We expect him to play this weekend. If not, we're going to be happy with Huntley. It just seems like there's a fracture between Lamar Jackson and the organization this year that we didn't see in the previous years. Because I'm not asking for a hard and fast answer out of your coach. Like, hey, is Lamar playing absolutely 100% or no, he's not. We're not going to give away that information because you'd have to spend an extra couple minutes defending Lamar Jackson or Huntley at practice. I understand there's a small bit of gamesmanship between that. But I'm not expecting Lamar Jackson to play. That answer I got yesterday was basically, like, well, ask him. We don't even know an update on his knee right now because he's not telling us. That's almost what I got the feel of.
I don't know if it goes that far, but I think the fact that they've not given him a 5-year contract extension at least opens the door for questions around the relationship between the team and the player. And again, like, it wasn't all that long ago where people were saying, hey, should Lamar shut the whole thing down because of the looming contract that he hopes to secure. You know, we wouldn't be saying this, though, about other quarterbacks. Like, if Joe Burrow got, you know, a little banged up, should Joey B shut it down? Yeah, listen, Cincinnati's probably already agreed to every single bit of terms that Joe Burrow wants on that contract. Same with Justin Herbert, right, and the L.A. Chargers. And they were drafted after Lamar Jackson. And those guys are superstars. And if you think that they're both better than Lamar, I totally understand that. Lamar's already put an MVP up there, won a playoff game, and the Ravens seem to kind of, you know, dilly-dally around here. I think what's getting, you know, so odd now, Donnie, is the most important thing for the Ravens is not winning the North. It is Lamar's health. So when we project out, even if they're going into that Week 8 team against Cincinnati where win and the division is yours, is that even important enough to rush Lamar back when you can buy him another week of football?
Yeah, because you're trying to extend it out, right? You're not winning anything unless Lamar Jackson is 100%. So why not get him the 100% if you lose to Cincinnati? Then it is what it is at that point. But also, let's keep in mind with Lamar Jackson. Like this uproar of like Lamar should just shut it down. Lamar played these cards exactly this way. Lamar Jackson was fine letting the dice roll down the table to see if you can get, you know, a hard eight at this point and really cash in. So I understand where people sound like, well, Lamar should just shut it down. He doesn't have a contract. This is exactly what he wanted. He wanted to play it out so far where the Ravens have no choice but to just let him walk, where he's going to make a few hundred million, or the Ravens are going to pay him a few hundred million. This was like, man, like, I love the deal that the Ravens got last year. Like, I tried to sign it, and the Ravens pulled it away from me. And now I didn't have it. No, what that? The Ravens said, here's a few hundred million. He goes, well, I want an extra 50 million. Oh, okay. Play. Okay, that's fine. I'm fine. You're fine. We'll play this out and see how much money we have. So don't feel bad for Lamar Jackson right now, as if he should shut it down. He chose this path to go down to try to get that Powerball ticket at the end.
Yeah, but that Powerball ticket is secured. He does not need to play again to get that money, Donnie. That, like, he's good. The Jets will give him every dollar he's ever won.
Like, I'm not going out on that field unless I'm 100%. Most people that, let's just say he signed his contract. Lamar Jackson's probably playing this week. That's what I'm saying. Like, is the actual advantage of Lamar Jackson going, like, I got to put my future ahead of the team now because I want that money. But this is the way he wanted to play it out. So in theory, he should be like, hey, you know what? I'm 80%. I'm going to get back out on this field and play. But he played it this way. So let's see how it turns out to see if he's like, I'm not putting myself out here. Well, he did put himself out there.
Why are you putting all the onus on just him? Why you don't think he wanted to sign a full contract extension this offseason?
Granted, the Ravens probably offered him almost as much money as Deshaun Watson got, right? Because Deshaun Watson was basically a true free agent at that point, which is what he was negotiating. The Ravens said, here's a lot of money. We're not giving you a full contract. And Lamar Jackson goes, that's fine. I'm going to play this out because I want a full contract. And now he's at the end of it. And people say, oh, Lamar shouldn't play at all. Because this, no, he chose this path, right? So if he signed and was going like, hey, you know what? I'm not going to put my health on the line here. He probably would be. But he chose to say, I'm going to risk injury and play football in hopes that I can get that fully guaranteed contract, which I'm not being offered now.
Well, he will be offered a fully guaranteed contract.
I don't think so.
If he leaves Baltimore. So. Oh, not a doubt. No, but the Jets will give it to him.
There you go. No, it's a good point you bring up. If he leaves Baltimore, and that's what he's playing out now. Like, that's the whole point I'm trying to bring up here.
Baltimore Jackson chose this Baltimore's never offering it to him.
No, I understand. And that's what he's in. So his whole, he shouldn't play because injury. No. You played yourself into this injury situation back-to-back years without the comfort of $150 million guaranteed when you went 200-plus guaranteed. That's all I'm saying here. I know what you're saying. But like, if he shakes loose and seven teams are bidding, somebody's probably going to give him that. But he chose to say, okay, what happens if he comes back and really hurts that knee and ends in the offset? That's all I'm saying at that point.
And I understand that, but it does work both directions where Baltimore could have paid him and then got Lamar to feel good and comfortable about playing on an injury. Baltimore wanted to, you know, play the whole thing out the entire way. And let's just say this quickly in terms of Lamar's value to Baltimore. Every time he's gone, they are nowhere near as good. 2 years in a row now. If you want to tell me that you don't trust Lamar to stay healthy, we can have that conversation. If you want to tell me he's not as good as Joe Burrow, Pat Mahomes, Josh, I get all of that. But it has now been made perfectly crystal clear that when this team has Lamar versus when they don't, they go from one of the very best teams in football to, hey, you probably don't want to play the Ravens. They're a good organization. And that's a huge gap on Lamar Jackson. We'll talk about Mike White and Zach Wilson next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Closing out hour number one, we're talking about some QB questions that enter. We do not have any questions, though, for the Jets, as they made things perfectly clear. Mike White's the starter. Joe Flacco's the backup. Zach Wilson's inactive. The tone of this, though, I think far different than the last time they made this move. Last time, it's as if they were backed into a corner because of public comments made by Zach Wilson that were far more damning than his horrendous on-field play. Mike White came in, provided the same juice that Joe Flacco did, which was non-existent when Zach Wilson was out there, and this was Mike White's job. But then he was injured, and then Flacco had to check in the middle of the game, and he was completely unprepared. So they went back to their franchise quarterback, or hopeful franchise quarterback. All of that was understandable. And then he was terrible again, and Chris Trevler checked in and looked twice the player of Zach Wilson. I don't think this is any tough coaching lesson Zach Wilson stuff, Donnie. I think this is another definitive statement from this organization that you are not the guy, and Mike White is just way better than you are.
Yeah, and it runs pretty deep now in the Jets organization, because it's not as if you try to look with the binoculars at them like, hey, down the road, this kid's going to be really good. He's got electric talent. Maybe the light bulb goes on. This is basically saying, like, kid, you're not even a professional right now. Like, there's ways to operate when you're playing bad, what you say and how you come in. Are you coming in at 5 a.m. and the first guy in the building, last guy out, just trying to make amends, trying to get yourself into back and better? But having said that, Robert Saleh puts him back in there. They must do in August when you have a rookie. Like, hey, he might not make the team, but we don't want anybody to get him. Oh, shoulder surgery for the guy when he probably never gets the shoulder surgery. Build up in the offseason. We'll see you next year. But Zach Wilson right now, you don't do this to a franchise guy. You might try to teach him a lesson and hope he responds. You taught him a lesson. He didn't respond. And now you're banishing him. And I can't even argue against it at this point. They are better with Mike White, but it's not even that. He can't be. Don't give me, I'm going to head into the offseason, he's going to compete for a starting job next year. We're far past that.
We are far past that. Also, they're a 2.5-point favorite in Seattle. How bad is that football team playing? That being in Seattle doesn't even matter now. Mike White's laying points in your building. We'll be right back.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.